Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hey, everybody. It is Dee Dee Mersimoff, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where what? Your pet's health is our business and friends. Oh, my gosh. Especially like my friend, Neely Piazza. We don't let friends feed kibble, right, Niels?
Absolutely. Nasty.
So this was funny. I had an email from this company, Dog Expert, and they were saying, thank you for, mentioning us on your podcast or something like that. And they were saying, would you, link us back to this article on Royal Canin. I said,
oh my God,
I'm not sure you have listened to the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Because we say Royal Canin is crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I just saw somebody posted in a Facebook group about something like that about Purina and Royal Canin and Iams and Hill's having all this research behind them. And I'm like, oh my God, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, I think people don't. But marketing is the best thing in the world, right? And I always say, if you were marketed every day on TV about the health benefits of a truly raw diet. Now, you've got some of these cooked foods companies that are out there and really getting some traction. And I would say that's definitely a step up from kibble.
Yeah, I think people are just trying to take a middle, a middle road approach and trying to capture a new, I don't know. Some people just, for whatever reason, are so brainwashed they just can't take the full leap, which I mean, to an extent, talking to people, I get it from a psychological perspective, but from a personal perspective and from a make sense and all that, I don't get it. Cause I mean, how could anybody possibly think that synthetic cooked trash is more healthful and beneficial and better for a living being animal than what they have evolved over millions of years to eat? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Why do you have to put so much thought into it? I mean, it seems like a total no-brainer to me.
Yeah, but you and I have been doing this 20 years. And so we've seen our pets, detox, we've seen the health benefits, we've seen the non-issues. And so I think that, as Dr. Judy and you always say, people have to be hit over the head sometimes before they wake up.
Yeah.
And I hear this a lot of time from my pet parents who are like, I had no idea. I had no idea that McDonald's was bad for my kids. What?
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, so to some extent, you can't really, a person that has no real reason to look into something or to suspect something different than mainstream, since they're so, like you said, marketing is so pervasive and brainwashing that if there's no real reason for somebody to look into it, you can't really blame the person directly. You kind of have to blame the system that has led them down the wrong path.
And I still see it every week, 3 to 5 year feeders. They still have some issues sometimes if their dog stops eating. And they really do want to say, well, it's the food, but I can take that food and I do every time and I disperse it out over,
Yeah, we've never had any trouble with it, have we?
All of our dogs and have it tested and all that jazz, and there's nothing wrong with the food. And the reason that I really want to do this is because I'm trying to point out to the pet parent, you need to look further. Don't stop at the food, because this is what the veterinarians do. Oh, your dog's on a raw diet. Well, let's give him antibiotics. Let's don't test him. Just give him antibiotics because the raw food's bad. So it must be the raw food. And I I have to say this to my pet parents too. Look somewhere else. Look further. Maybe it's variety. That's our number one thing. When you say that the top thing is that it's not in the variety.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm starting to come across a few more examples of where people are having issues here and there, you know. Oh, well, my dog wouldn't eat today or won't eat this or whatever. And it's like, well, how long have you been giving them that? And, oh, 8 months. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's try switching it up just a little bit. But I mean, you know, there's all kinds of weird, and you know, I guess I have to say in some situations that maybe a failing on my part for not stressing in a consult or whatever. You know, you definitely need, and I know I say it, but you know, when people are first starting, they're so overwhelmed that, you know, they probably take a good three or four things as take-home messages, and some of the other things don't really stick right away, you know? So, but yeah, it seems like there's a lot of things that can interfere with a dog that is, you know, usually voraciously hungry or whatever, but especially when one of the other things that I see is when the seasons change, you know, you get, especially here, like, it's not just like a gradual steady change in Colorado. It's like, it'll be 20 degrees and snowing one day and literally 95 degrees the next day, you know,
like today.
Yeah, exactly. You get those, you know, you get into the change in seasons and it spikes from one extreme to the other. And that's really hard on a body of any species, you know? And so it'll throw hormones off and, throw the whole endocrine system off and, have an effect on diet and, or appetite. I mean, things like that. So that's another thing that I see can really affect, you know, if a dog might stop eating for a day or two or something like that, that can be a underlying reason also.
I thought about you this morning, those exact words, because, you know, yesterday was great, beautiful. And today it's going, you know, it's cold and it's rainy and it's like, okay, we just can't get, you know, summer off to a start yet, or we can't get this warm season. But, and I always say, gosh, my flowers, I just put them out. Now I got to cover them up, bring them in, take them back out, bring them in. And my own fault, they always say, wait until after Memorial weekend, but I couldn't wait. But anyway, Lozzie went out today and she was eating grass this morning and threw up. Now I'm standing there and I'm just watching this and I'm just thinking through, you know, what our pet parents would think. And I'm remembering what you said about that. And, you know, I don't get too excited. I mean, for me, it's like, okay, if a dog wants to throw up, let him throw up. He's just throwing up grass. And,
right.
I still do see that, you know, with pet parents. And we do these podcasts over and over again. And we say a lot of the same things over and over again because we're trying to get it through your fabulous Rawson brain.
Well, and you just brought something else up that a lot of people worry about too, that I don't think is anything to worry about, is when they eat grass. And again, right now, like coming into spring and summer, is like mine are like going after the grass like crazy through the yard, and they're just like little grazers, and people will forget or think that there's something wrong with that a carnivore is craving something green like that. But Angel is the worst. She'll stand out just in the middle of a patch of grass and just eat, is standing there like a cow as long as I'll let her.
Tell her to eat some of those dandelions that are blooming right now.
Well, and the other day before I mowed the grass, I went out and pulled several dandelion plants out of my front yard and chopped them up and put them in the refrigerator and gave them to them the next day. They love them.
Yeah. Well, it's great for their, it's a great liver detox.
Liver support. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So don't get all worried about if they're eating grass like that. Just feed them a little more green stuff, a little more veg. And this is a really good time of year for for that, it, I think it sets something off in their little primordial brain that makes them want something green.
Well, I know you eat a lot of green because you are a vegetarian, which we're going to talk today about why your dog is not a vegetarian and the study behind it. But you said something to me before we started the podcast. I said, what are you doing? You said, you're watching a documentary on factory farms. This is why I'm a vegetarian.
Vegan. I'm vegan.
Okay. You're vegan. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But you understand that your dog's not a vegan. And
absolutely not. Yeah. That. So my whole thing, well, of course, factory farming, the way animals are raised and then, you know, having to take a life. A lot of people just don't connect with the, where their food really comes from. But my whole thing was more health oriented. So, you know, a species should ethically be fed what it is, has evolved to eat. And
oh, wait a minute now. Cause I wish you wouldn't have put that word evolved in there, because do you know what pet parents are going to think and what the consumer market sells our pet, that they have evolved to eat kibble?
Kibble? Yeah, well, that's bullshit, because kibble has been around for a total of about 100 years, and dogs have been on the planet for millions of years. So you're going to tell me that in, I mean, 100 years is like a third of a blink of an eye in evolutionary time span. So anybody that says that or thinks that or believes anybody that tells them that, is not having a clear view on geology and geological time and evolutionary time and all that. Cause that's, I mean, however many hundreds of dog breeds there are, those all took shape just within 100 to 150 years of selective breeding to get the difference between a Great Dane and a Chihuahua. So, I mean,
I get you. And, you know, you and Tony, the juice man, you guys just keep on eating your juicy, green, fabulous stuff along with my husband. But your dogs, guys, are not vegetarians. I don't care what the marketing says. I mean, look, you can absolutely starve a dog, make a dog hungry, and he'll eat all the vegetarian stuff you can feed them. And sometimes they just eat it because they have no choice. You're the pet parents. You're giving it to them. But the reality is, as you said, Neely, these are not species appropriate foods. I mean, if you look at the species, canines' teeth are sharp. They're pointed for ripping, tearing, shredding meat and bone. And they don't have jaws that move sideways. That's a real indicator, right? Their jaws only move up and down.
Well, and you can also tell if you feed a dog a whole vegetable, like if you feed it a carrot or if you feed it a piece of broccoli or something, and you watch how it comes out the other end, it usually comes out in whatever size it went in, right? So that just tells you right there they're not digesting it.
Well, they're not designed to pulverize plant material.
Right.
That's not how dogs are designed.
No, but now we need to clarify something, because we're not saying we're against veg at all.
No. No, we're not. But we're saying a vegetarian diet
is definitely not appropriate. But to include vegetation in the diet is totally beneficial and appropriate. But we're talking at like 10, maybe up to 15% total. So, you know, and if you're feeding tripe, which has a pretty decent amount, I mean, that's where the green comes from, right? So if you're feeding tripe, then you're already addressing part of that. Although I'm a big believer in berries and cruciferous veg and all that, but you definitely need to grind up or puree or pulverize in some way just so that there's more surface area and more broken cell wall so that they can absorb the benefits from it. And part of the,
well, they can't ferment their food.
No, either. Exactly.
They cannot ferment their food.
Exactly. But so. That's what the microbiome is for. And so that's also a big portion of the reason that you want to feed them. Vegetation is to feed the bugs in the gut so that the bugs in the gut can manufacture different antioxidants and things like that that the dog can't produce themselves. So that's part of it. So even though you're putting it in the dog's mouth, you're actually feeding the bacteria.
If you're a vegetarian, which half of our customer base is, veg on. But this is not proper nutrition for a dog. I want to give you some numbers here. And this is coming out of Lou Olson's book, Raw Natural Nutrition for Dogs. She was talking about the study done in Europe on some dogs that were fed a vegetarian diet. And what she's doing here is highlighting the dangers of dogs, canines, being on vegetarian diets. So here's what they found, Neely. Protein intake was inadequate for more than half of the dogs. Calcium requirements were not met in 62% of the dogs. That's very important. Phosphorus was not met in half of the dogs. These are important things, guys. And 73% of the dogs had insufficient intake of sodium. And when they did a blood sample, it showed insufficient amounts of iron, copper, zinc, iodine, vitamin D, and the big one, vitamin B12. Mm-hmm. 56% of the dogs weren't getting enough of the B vitamins. So these are extremely important nutrients that your dog cannot get from plant material.
Now, let's clarify one thing, though. That's not to say that a good portion of those minerals and components are not in plants. That's to say that the dog cannot extract them from the
plant.
There
you go.
Which goes right to the fact that they're not designed to consume strictly vegetation. They have to have that herbivore middleman in order to get the nutrients from those plants.
Right. So protein, right? Animal protein, it is comprised of various different amino acids, and those amino acids are what the dogs need,
right,
for their building blocks. Now, some people want to say, well, how about soy protein for a dog? Well, that may be all right for humans, but it's not a complete protein. And Neely, many times we find that is a common allergen for dogs.
Well, the problem with soy is, and I'm not a huge proponent of soy for people either. And there's, you know, a lot of people will argue that, but part of the issue with the allergen is that almost all soy products are genetically modified in one way or another. So, you have one, the glyphosate issue, you have two, the genetically modified issue. And I'm not a huge sold fan on soy for any species, really. I don't eat soy products. For the most part, every once in a blue moon, I'll have something that has soy in it. But for the most part, I go out of my way to stay away from it.
Soy is less expensive, right? So that's where you're going to see it in some dog foods. But soy, they have found, can definitely interfere with thyroid function in your dog. So let's not make the mistake of thinking that soy protein is going to get you there. Now, what about taurine and L-carnitine? Well, remember we were talking about DCM, and I know you love to talk about DCM because really, who was talking about DCM before that one article that came out, right? Dilated cardiomyopathy. But if you think about it, taurine, cysteine and methionine that make taurine, you're not going to get those sulfur amino acids out of plant proteins that dogs need for their heart.
Yeah, right.
So definitely the raw diet is going to have taurine in it. Now, they might say that there are some dogs that are more susceptible to DCM?
Definitely a genetic component. And I mean, you know, the sulfur compounds can be found in cruciferous vegetables, but again, the dog is not equipped to extract it from there. So whereas a person can use it, a dog is not going to be equipped to use it that way. And they're not going to have the volume either. So
where do you get the highest level of taurine? It's going to be in animal muscle tissue. Your plant products are going to contain low or undetectable amounts of taurine. And if it's in the food and then you cook it, there's much evidence that says that that interrupts the taurine bioavailability. So these are the things that we have to look at when you think about feeding your dog a vegan diet.
Another component that we're not talking about, and I'm not saying this is good, but anybody that's feeding their dog a vegetarian or a vegan diet is in kibble form. So any kind of benefit that you're going to get from a plant product for a dog is already blown out the window by putting it in a kibble. So you've processed anything good out of it. Whole fresh vegetarian versus kibble vegetarian, you'd see a difference, but it's still, even if you did that, you're still not going to hit your nutritional requirements for your dog. It still needs to be a minor component of meat-based, animal-based diet.
Well, and look, if you are doing a vegan diet, you're going to have to add additional calcium, zinc, magnesium, iron, iodine. And how are you going to balance that? How do you even understand that? And the problem that I see and that you and I talk about all the time is that once you start micromanaging minerals, you know, you're in danger of getting too little or too much.
You lose sight of the whole thing when you start counting micrograms of this and milligrams of that, and you lose sight of the whole picture, and that's where people get bogged down, and it's not necessary.
Well, I had someone the other day email me, and what's one of the worst things you can do as a new feeder? Get on a Facebook group.
Yeah, right. I can't even look at most of them. I get so annoyed with stuff and the bad advice that people give, and that, you know, it's don't do that.
I'm going to read this email. Good morning. Can I just confirm what I think I already know just from listening to all your podcasts? If I use your blends and rotate proteins, I thaw a different protein each time. So I'm rotating every other day. Nice. He feeds 2 to 3 meals of fish. He tosses in eggs, maybe 2 to 3 times a week. He says, am I meeting the nutritional needs of my dogs without needing to add supplements? I think so. It looks pretty good. He says, I know you tell us to stay off Facebook raw feeding groups, but they're like car crashes. It's hard not to look. I can't stop. He said, I see a lot of people on these Facebook groups talking about balancing nutrients and vitamins, and their daily meals seem to be managed down to the milligram sometimes. He said, they have me doubting myself, so I'm going to the source. And then he goes on to say, also, do people feed an entire meal of tripe or mix it with a blend? If so, how much of the meal weight should be tripe? We're going to talk to Neely about that here in a second. He said, I do normally buy the blends with tripe, but I did just get some unopened chubs of tripe. Anyway, he said, love your stuff and love how you allow us to take ownership of our dog's health by feeding them an appropriate diet that won't cause long-term health issues. Thank you so much, Brian, for your email. But isn't that so right on? Facebook groups are just like freaking car crashes, but
they are like train wrecks.
You know, and my reply back to him was this. I said, listen, Brian, you're absolutely right. When you get a lot of people with a lot of opinions, it can cause you to doubt yourself. I said, but our job and what we try to help you do is become confident so that you can be open-minded, but that you can't be kind of swayed by every little thing. And I said, most of the time, the people that are trying to micromanage their dog's nutrients are going to cause an imbalance on the other side. And it primarily comes from people who maybe have had a dog who has died and they're trying to avoid this type of pain in the future, trying to make our dogs be like Teflon. But unfortunately, no matter what we do, we're all going out of here. You, me, and the dogs.
Yeah.
So anyway, what would you have to say about that?
A big part of that problem is you can still do everything exactly right with the dog that you have in your life right now. I mean, you can feed the perfect diet. You can avoid all toxic pharmaceuticals and vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And you still may end up with a dog that dies at 8 or 9 from some sort of a cancer. And the reason for that is the epigenetic factors that you have absolutely no control over. I mean, the kind of health and pharmaceuticals and food and all that your dog in your care right now, his parents and grandparents and grandparents' parents had is going to affect your dog regardless of what you do. So, you know, you there's not a magic bullet to fix everything. There's not you could totally do everything 100% right and still end up with one of those catastrophic things. But all you can do is the best that you can do. And the best that you can do is stay away from kibble, stay away from preventative medicine and vaccines specifically. And, you know, stay away from your healthcare professional as much as you possibly can. Did I say that? I said that, didn't I? I guess you have to do what your comfort level is, but you also have to understand that there are some things that you just can't control. And the more that you try to micromanage every portion of their, you know, of their life like that, the harder it's going to be, the more stressful it's going to be for you, the more stressful it's going to be for them because they tap into your stress. And yeah, I'm to the point where I provide the least toxic environment I possibly can, the access to the best food I can do, and then they're on their own at that point.
If you want to eat rocks, go ahead.
I'm gonna ask Dr. Andy if she can figure out if she'll ask Angel why she eats rocks. I can't figure it out. Maybe she'll tell her because she won't tell me. But
I'll tell you, she likes it. Angel likes rocks.
I don't know. Sometimes they come back out, they're not even covered in poop. They just come out clean. It's the craziest thing.
Well, you paid a lot for those rocks, right? You paid a lot to put your... So get them back out, Angel. You're going to use them. Let's have them back. Okay. All right. So, all right, Neely, you're the best person in the world. Wake up and smell the tripe. Would you answer this question?
Oh, yeah.
Do people feed an entire meal of tripe or mix it with a blend? Both.
Both, yeah. So there are so many different ways to do raw right. Okay, so don't get locked into there's only one right way to do it. So there are people that feed nothing but tripe or primarily tripe or whatever. I wouldn't personally suggest doing that specifically, although I'm probably the biggest tripe proponent you'll ever meet. Mine get tripe every day. in some sort or another. And they typically get, I would say on average, 20% of their total diet, at least 20, is tripe. Probably between 20 and 30. Because some days they get more than others, and some days they get added tripe with a blend that already has tripe in it. So the best answer to that is, what, you know, and people will also ask, well, should I feed just fish or just tripe? You know, single meals that are just fish or just tripe, or should I incorporate them or whatever? The best answer to that is whatever is easiest for you to do and fits best into your lifestyle is the right way to do it for you. So if it's easier for you to do a couple of meals a week that are strictly tripe or strictly fish or something like that, however you're trying to divide it, then by all means do it that way. If it's easier for you to just mix everything all together at each meal and have a little bit of everything at each meal, then do it that way. Whatever is going to work best for you. I even know people, I still, when I first started feeding raw, a lot of people would say, you need to do an organ meal twice a week. And I look at that.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I never did do that. I always kind of combined mine, but there's still people that do that. And I'm like, can you imagine the calls we would get from people if we told them, okay, so twice a week, feed nothing but liver, kidney, and heart. And can you imagine, even my dogs would have like projectile Hershey squirts. Like you wouldn't believe if I did that. But you know, when I first started doing it, that was the recommendation that was going, you need to be sure that you include, do that. And I'm like, okay, I'm thinking that's probably not a good plan. I think I'll just kind of, I'll kind of do a little bit every day, which I tend to do a little bit of everything every day. Muscle, meat, bone, and organ. I tend to have something with all three of those in there at every meal. Now, as far as adding extra stuff like eggs or fish or brains or feet or whatever, all the other stuff that I add in, that just is kind of variable, whatever is on hand, whenever, several times a week. But they used to tell you, you know, as long as you averaged everything out over the week or over the month, you know, you could do that by doing strictly meat meals and strictly organ meals and strictly raw meaty bone meals and all that. And I guess in theory you probably could, but I wouldn't do it. I've never done it. I've never thought it was a great idea.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debates on a lot of stuff. And so I heard somebody say the other day, again, I think you and I have talked about this, but this was somebody else who said, I don't even get why people feed tripe. It's just a non-essential food. Non-essential. That's a good word for right now in our world.
Non-essential. Well, you know, so if you want to take that as specifically as what they said, yeah, your dog will, if you don't ever feed it tripe, your dog will live, will probably live fine. But there are some definite benefits for it. And, you know, people say, well, it's just a filler and it's just because they like it because it smells bad or whatever, which I don't actually agree with the whole smell bad thing. But, you know, it does have some enzymatic activity. It does have some probiotic activity. It does have predigested, semi-predigested vegetable matter in it. It does have a proper ratio of calcium and phosphorus. It does have omega-3s. It does have collagen. It does have protein. It does have moisture. They do like it. A lot of times if there's something that you need to get down on that they won't eat, they'll eat it if you mix it with tripe. It is low fat. You know, so there's a lot of potential benefit with no downside. So why would you not feed it? I mean, that's actually how I found you guys in the first place, because I was on like a mega search for pure raw tripe, which is you know, that's how I found y'all in the first place, however many years ago that was. I think that tripe is a fabulous addition. Now, do you have to feed tripe? No. But if you can, why would you not?
Because people think it stinks.
Yeah, I don't. I'll never get that because it really, I don't think it does. But
you were raised around horses, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it smells like a barn, and it doesn't even smell like a dirty barn. It just smells, you know, it's not even like liver. Liver smells worse to me than tripe does.
How about lung? Remember when we had ground lung? I mean, people were just about to toss their cookies. Yeah. And so we don't carry that anymore. Now the beef lung, the air-dried beef lung treats are fab. They're so fabulous. They're so fabulous, people.
Yeah.
Get those.
They love them.
Yeah, they're really, you can break them apart.
A good thing to add in, because there's not, lung is one of those that is not included in a lot of the organ mixes, and some of the blend, some of them have them, but not all of them do. So lung is one that is a little bit harder to source. So those treats are a great addition for anybody that's looking for, you know, training treats, or just if you want to give your dog treats or whatever. That those are a great thing to add.
Okay, well, I've got you here talking about adding things. Your pork brain suggestion to bring those in, they're flying off the shelf. Congratulations, Neely Piazza. Yay! You're right again.
You're welcome, people. I've been fighting for brains for the last 2 years, and we finally got them. And
I tell you what else I cannot keep in stock. Green eggs. Oh my gosh, people are loving the green eggs mixture in the supplement section. And
that's good. That was another one that I thought was my dogs gets that one too.
All the supplements are your suggestion. What are you talking? I'm giving you all the credit. But while you're here, Miss Pork Brains, you need to tell people how to use those. How do they incorporate the pork brains with the blends? How do we do with the pork brains?
Okay. So one of the things that makes the brains so fab is that they're really high. Okay. So everybody's on the hunt for a good source of omega-3s, right? Mm-hmm. So, and some dogs won't eat fish, some dogs will, you know, so we have this whole thing. Well, the brains have DHA, which is not, you know, is not as prominent in some of the other high omega-3 foods, right? And we all know that basically glandular therapy is a similar principle to homeopathy, as in, you know, like cures like supports like, or whatever. So if you have so if you're feeding brain, you're going to support brain. If you're feeding liver, you're going to support liver. You're feeding kidney, you're going to support kidney. So I like to do an added high omega-3 pretty much every day if possible. And so do fish, do brain, and it depends on the size of your dog. I don't get worked up about the whole micromanaging thing. So a tub of pork brains, they're used, is 1 pound. They're usually, you know, they're usually pretty easy to distribute a hemisphere at a time, right?
Wait. Do I need the right hemisphere or the left hemisphere?
Well, it depends if you're trying to promote critical thinking or or emotional support. I have a degree in neuroscience, you know. So anyway, so I have six dogs, right? So I usually just dollop off one hemisphere to each. A tub will last me like a day and a half.
Holy smack of brains. My dog is way too smart. I OD'd him on brains.
It's just food, right? So if you give them more than that, it's really not going to... That's just kind of the way it breaks up for my group. But what I'm saying is, it's not that important. You're not going to overdose them on it. I wouldn't give them the whole tub in one day.
But. All right, everybody. Remember that you can work with Neely Piazza. Just go to my website, rawdogfoodandco.com. She is on my preferred providers list, helps pet parents all over the country. She can help you get confident, get smart in a snap about the raw diet. She can help you with any kind of issues that you have. Next podcast, Neely, I had another email, and we're going to talk about this. We've talked about it a little bit before, but some pet parents who really, really, really believe in the allergy test of hair samples and blood. And so we want to dig a little deeper into that. And I will present to you my side of why I think it's a waste of money. Neely can present her side. And when maybe you would want to use it down the road. But anyway, we're going to talk about that on the next podcast. So until then, it's Dee Dee and Neely saying your pet's health is our business. And what, Neely?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.